This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jeff's guests appear on the Memphis Express phone line. Get on board the Express at AAF.com or call 901-831-3344 for tickets. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and Beyond. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't want to be the last man standing. On second thought, baby, I do. It's getting hard to watch my pals check out. Cuts like a wore-out knife. One thing I learn about
this is
run
fantastic.
Road is forever on a plight.
This is fantastic. You come through, Chris, all the time with appropriate songs. What is this one?
Some days are better than others, but I will pat myself on the back. I think I've had a good week on the song selection.
Yeah.
This is Last Man Standing by Willie Nelson from his album of the same title from last year about how all of his old country music buddies have died and gone away.
My buddies, check out. Yep. It's fantastic.
So that's in tribute to Mike Conley.
Let's listen a little bit more.
If you're in such a hurry, like heaven ain't waiting for you. I don't want to be the last man standing. On second thought, maybe I do.
Chris, Mike Conley is the last man standing. All right. We did tell you before the break that the Grizzlies have said that they will be retiring Mark's number. Do you have the official statement there, Jeffrey?
The Memphis Grizzlies released the following statement from Grizzlies controlling owner Robert Pera regarding Mark Gasol. Quote, Mark has been a dedicated teammate, star player, and pillar of the team for the past 11 seasons. He plays with heart and passion for the game that helped carry this franchise to 7 straight playoff appearances. But what Mark has done for this organization is about more than just basketball. He was a part of a core group of players that helped shape the identity of this franchise on and off the court and were embraced by the city of Memphis. On behalf of the Grizzlies organization, I would like to thank him for his blood, sweat, and dedication to the Grizzlies and Memphis. The impact he had on this team and the city will live on, and we look forward to one day welcoming him back home to Memphis, where his number 33 jersey will hang in the rafters of FedEx Forum next to Zach and Tony.
So there you go. And there was one. So 3 are gone. And all 3 numbers they've said will be retired. That's fitting, isn't it, Chris?
Yep. And Conley will join them someday, off in the distance. I think that is fitting. I mean, none of these players are retired yet. I think that could happen like any day now with Tony Allen, pretty much. And Zach Randolph, I don't know if we'll see him in an NBA game again, and so we'll see what happens there. It'll be a good long while before, you know, we see that actually happen with Conley or Gasol, but the day's probably coming fairly soon with Tony and Zach.
Tony, when I talked to him last, said he'd still like to play next year. I don't know if he's still saying that
Now
he's turning into a radio personality.
He is still saying that, but I think you could hear a little bit of the, like, you know.
Probably not going to happen in it.
Yeah.
And Z-Bo obviously was dealt and then released. What do you think is in there out there for
I don't
Z-Bo.
Know if it, I mean of course I'm surprised we haven't had more, but there was a lot of like, go sign him, Grizzlies, go sign Zach Randolph.
Some of that,
that's not gonna happen,
right?
I don't know if anybody's gonna sign him. I mean, I would love to see some playoff team sign him, have him as a bench option, and then you look up in the playoffs, it's only
and
Zach Randolph
and some,
I mean, that is my fervent
jump shot,
that is my fervent desire to see that happen. I just don't know if it will. I think there are a lot of reasons why, you know, you're not seeing Zach Randolph in the league in terms of his age and the way the game has shifted.
Do you think if the game hadn't shifted, he still would have a role?
Oh, if this were 1994, then the 35 or whatever year old Zach Randolph, 36, whatever he is, would still be in a rotation somewhere.
Yeah,
I'm guessing. Yeah.
How many years, by the way, do you think? I mean, some of this is injury related, but just wild guess. Mark is going to play. Mike is going to play.
With Mark, it's up to Mark. Like Mark can be 40 in the NBA if he wants to be, if he's still healthy. I mean, he won't be playing 10 minutes a game or whatever, but like that guy will always be able to set a pick, shoot a 3, and pass the ball like forever,
right.
forever.
Right.
And so Mark can play as long as he wants to. Mike, it's a little bit different story. It's a small guard with all the injury right. stuff and whatever. I certainly don't think he's on his last contract.
There's a chance Mark could be playing longer than Mike, even though Mike is
if he wants to. Yes, right. I suspect he won't. I think he's got too much. He's too much interest outside, and I think we've seen the level of pride that he has. I don't know if he wants to be the journeyman playing on a new team every year.
He doesn't want to do the Vince Carter.
Yeah, I don't see that.
He'd have to move his garden every
but
year.
But I certainly think Marcus Hall could be in the NBA at age 40 if he chooses to be. Yeah.
It was interesting. I mean, you see all kinds of people. You see FedEx. You see St. Jude tweeting about Mark. You see people tweeting about his role in the community. Tony obviously still lives here. Zebo's here.
Right.
I think Mark is going to be here.
I will be surprised if he maintains a post-career residence in Memphis.
Right.
I certainly don't think his primary residence is going to be in Memphis, but I'll be surprised
he's a Barcelona
kid. Yes. I'll be very surprised if that's the case.
Yeah.
Even though his connections in many ways are deeper with the city than the others, I don't think you're going to see that. It's like
he'll be back.
This will be my post-playing home.
Right. No, he'll be back, but it won't be his post-playing home. Right?
Yeah. I'd be surprised.
Okay. So you've written about it over at the Daily Memphian. I urge people to go read it at dailymemphian.com. Chris has broken down the deals. We might as well, instead of taking them as a whole, let's just take them one by one. Start with a Mark deal.
I mean, they are related. I mean, really, one of them really doesn't matter at all, and the other two are related.
Okay, what doesn't matter at all?
The Shelvin Mack. I mean, it matters in the sense that we don't have to watch Shelvin Mack anymore, and like, you know, I mean.
Now.
Jeffrey. Once they kept Mike Conley and brought in DeLon Wright, and then you have Javon Carter, like he was, you would hope he was just not going to play, although that would have been up to the coaches. And so at that point, they were needed to get him off the roster, and they were able to flip him for a player who has a slightly lower contract and may or may not be something, probably won't, whatever.
Has been terrible, right?
Yeah. The other two are related, and you can't really understand the second, which looks ridiculous on the surface, without understanding its connection to the first. I sort of added, I wrote the straight analysis last night, and then I got up this morning and I added a paragraph to it that wasn't there. So anyone who read it last night, there's a paragraph that you didn't read. And that was explaining that the phantom thread in all of this is the luxury tax line. It, not only for the Grizzlies, really for the whole league in a way, but particularly for the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies were right up against the luxury tax line going into this trade deadline week. They're never going to pay the luxury tax, I don't think. But in a season where they're not making the playoffs, they are very much not going to pay the luxury tax. And so that was a complicating factor. And anything they did, they had to come out of it not above the tax line. And they were right bumping up against it. And so this Toronto trade added about $3 million in cap money. So it put them way above the tax line. They had to do something to bring them back under. And so they did. They essentially did the Garrett Temple, Jamichael Green for Avery Bradley deal to financially balance out the Marc Gasol to the Toronto deal. And so what happened was, and then they helped a little bit on the Shelvin Mack thing. And so they went from a team that was about $200,000-$300,000 under the luxury tax line to a team that maybe $700,000 or $800,000 on their luxury tax line, which allowed them to do all these trades and sign Bruno Caboclo. And so that was like the little, again, phantom thread, the little lining through all of this. They did the Temple Bradley. There's other parts of it, but the main part of it is they needed to do something to erase the extra money they were taking on the Toronto deal. And that is why that deal happened.
If they had just kept Mark and let him walk at the end of the year, could they?
That's an assumption that he was going to walk at the end of the year, right?
But if they had,
I believe that, but that's not a certainty,
right? If they had, nor is it a certainty that Jonas Valanciunas will walk or that they want him to walk.
I don't think he's going to walk. Yeah.
So, do you think then they could have gotten assets for Jamichael Green and Garrett Temple or not?
I think, yeah, probably. But I think even then, in fact, I know even. There were even standalone stuff for them, unrelated, that still would have given them luxury tax problems. Because again, they even without anything they did, they were right up against the tax. And so, like, Zach Lowe reported today, this, and this is something I heard, but a little more sketchy, so I didn't get specific. I just sort of alluded. But he wrote this morning that they could have sent Temple and Jamichael Green to the Brooklyn for Allen Crabbe and a first-round pick. Now, it was going to be Denver's first-round pick, so it would be like pick number 25 or 26 or whatever in a bad draft, and he would have had to take back $19 million next season. Do you want to pay $19 million for the 25th pick in the 2019 draft? In a vacuum, maybe, but if you do that, you're going to be paying luxury tax now, and they couldn't do that. And so I think the luxury tax issues complicated their ability to do stuff with Green and Temple even outside the context of the Gasol deal. The other issues were the buyout market is going to be really strong. Like Wesley Matthews got bought out. The Pacers just signed him. Why are you trading for Garrett Temple if you just go sign Wesley Matthews to a league minimum, right?
Right.
And so there were lots of – Enes Kanter got bought out, you know. And so there are lots of players that were flooding into the buyout market that teams could sign for a minimum and give up nothing for that were going to be better than Garrett Temple and Jamichael Green, and that was another factor that lowered the market on those guys.
Okay. So the Toronto deal, they get DeLon Wright, Jonas Valanciunas, C.J. Miles, who's bad at this point.
That contract had to be there.
Yeah, that's just a contract. What do you think?
I don't love it. I get it. I mean, the question is, the first question is that the best deal you could get? And really, the only other option they had was the Charlotte thing we were talking about yesterday, as far as I can tell. And I got sort of the details on that, which I wrote about. They were very close, as I understand it, to doing a deal with Charlotte. Not the night that Mark sat, but the next day, which was, I guess, Wednesday, they got very, very close to a deal with Charlotte. And what it was going to be Gasol and one of those two players, Green or Temple. Mm-hmm. And again, that's why you didn't do a deal early, because you may, you know, even going in to Thursday morning, they thought they may have needed Green or Temple in that Gasol deal, right, to Charlotte. So it was going to be Gasol and one of those two players going to Charlotte. And it was going to be Cody Zeller as a contract coming back, sort of similar to Valanciunas, a younger center, not as good, on a contract next year, not as big, sort of a very similar kind of thing. So it would have been Cody Zeller. It would have been Charlotte's first-round pick, lottery protected, which will be like the 17th, 18th pick, whatever, and some kind of future second-round pick. And then what they were haggling over was who was the second contract coming back, because it had to be two from Charlotte. And I think the Grizzlies would have done it if it were Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. And at that point, Charlotte was trying to get them to take Marvin Williams. And so they went into Thursday morning, like, 5 yards away from the goal, haggling over which of those two players, right? And my understanding is, on Thursday morning, Charlotte said, no, never mind. We're not giving you Cody Zeller. And we're not giving you Kidd-Gilchrist. We'll do the deal, but you have to take Biombo and Marvin Williams. Biombo and Marvin Williams would have been $32 million in salary next season the Grizzlies didn't want. So do you take on $32 million in salary you don't want to get that draft pick? And so would you rather do that or the Toronto deal? And the Grizzlies decided the draft pick is better on the Charlotte deal, but the player contract stuff is better on the Toronto deal, and you weigh one against the other. They thought the Toronto deal was
better. Should they have accepted the first Charlotte deal in retrospect then, though? The one with Cody Zeller and Marvin Williams? And would you have taken that one?
I don't know for a fact that they could have snapped their fingers and done that on Wednesday. I don't know. If you could have done that, yeah, maybe. I probably would have leaned to that direction, but it's still a close call even then. And so, you know, I think it's debate. I don't think it's clear that they made the right choice, but it's not clear they didn't either.
Neither of these choices are great choices.
This is where they found themselves. This was the market value of Marc Gasol this week.
Right. Right. And so,
they got a trade that, you know, that it makes them younger, gives them more financial flexibility. They like the players and Valanciunas and DeLon Wright, but it is not something that sets them up for some obvious path forward in terms of a rebuild. I mean, it can't be anything other than a disappointment that the Grizzlies came out of the trade deadline week with zero first-round draft picks and zero interesting young players under age 25. Valanciunas and DeLon Wright are both going to be 27 years old this spring.
it sort of kicks it down that there are it kicks it down the road.
Yes.
I mean,
that's one of my main takeaways.
Mike Conley's very clearly kicked down the road to the summer, and I think that was prudent in the end. Although
probably
maybe
so.
Not as long the injury thing.
Yes,
it won't look prudent if he breaks his foot,
right?
or if it's a ruptures
Achilles. They took on a risk in pursuit of a better outcome.
Right. So I'm not gonna hate that. That's fine. I actually like that. I think it was prudent to take that risk. They kicked that one very clearly down the road to the summer. They kicked the other stuff down the road because. Who knows what's going to happen with Valanciunas? Who knows what's going to happen to DeLon Wright? Each of those, different situation. DeLon Wright, Valanciunas has a chance to opt in. DeLon
right.
Wright is a restricted free agent
right.
where they can go ahead and make him a qualifying offer
yeah.
and match.
And those two players, for people don't know, they're good. Like they were quality rotation players on one of the best teams in the basketball this year. They're both relatively young. Not young, but like they're both 26. They're good players. My concern would be that the Grizzlies – I would be concerned about overpaying and overcommitting to keep them because you just traded for them this summer, and that would be something I would be wary of not doing. Right.
Right.
The other thing in terms of kicking it down the road to get back to the Temple Green, like that is also an example of kicking something down the road. Now I think the primary reason that was done was financial. It was the luxury tax stuff I just talked about, but they did get. In the sense that they weren't going to be able to trade Temple and Green for future assets by the end of the season, they were able to take that potential and push that into the summer. Because when they took back Avery Bradley, he's got a contract that is it's $12 to $13 million next season, but it's only guaranteed for $2 million. And so between the end of the season and July 1st, a team can trade for Avery Bradley as a $12 million contract. I'm doing the finger quotes right now, but only buy him out for only two. And so on the eve of free agency, if there are teams out there that are trying to clear more space for their free agency, that could be an attractive contract to trade. So whether the Grizzlies will actually use that and turn that into something productive of future value, I don't know. I think it's a coin flip at best. But at least there's the potential.
And they also
to
got
do
a
that.
Trade exception, $8 million trade exception.
Which is another coin flip at best. Maybe they'll use it, maybe they won't, right?
Okay, so where does this leave us in terms of,
I describe it as a tiptoe into the future, right? It's a small step into whatever the future's going to be, and we're going to find out this summer what path they're really taking, right? And two things are going to happen that we're going to determine that. It's going to be what happens with the draft pick, and it's going to be what decision they make with Mike Conley. And so there are paths where you going into next season just trying to be competitive to because you still owe Boston a pick, right? And there are scenarios where, okay, now we're really detonating the whole thing, and we're starting a true full rebuild for next season with Jaren Jackson Jr. And it could go either of those directions or somewhere in the middle, and I think that is unknown. We also don't know who's going to be making that decision other than the owner because we may have front office changes, which we both believe there'll be to some degree.
Right. It's funny because it's not as if to defend them for a moment, it's not. And they made this. They made their bed here.
Yeah.
But it's not as if. Deals with rising young stars and prime draft picks were available that
right.
they turned down. It's not that they chose to tiptoe in the future despite embracing the future fully, because there was nothing. You can argue about whether that 17 pick on Charlotte, but
right.
there's nothing that was going to rocket ship them into the future available yesterday.
I think a regret, and I wrote this, is the deals that weren't available that probably should have been. Like if I'm a Charlotte fan, I'm saying just move 5 inches and do this deal and get Marcus All, right? And if Charlotte moves 5 inches and, if you're taking back less onerous contracts, maybe you do the deal with Charlotte, you get the pick. Again, I think Charlotte should have thrown in Malik Monk. Apparently Malik Monk was never even under discussion. Charlotte wouldn't even talk about that or put that out there. To me, Charlotte should have traded for Marcus All. And if they move 5 yards further, I think that would have happened. And to me, Utah, Mike Conley's good. Like, trade Dante Exum. Like, I think if those two teams had moved a little bit closer, I think both those deals may have happened. And then you look up and, you're a lot worse because you just traded Mike Conley too. But now you have 3 or 4, first-round pick young player assets, and it's a Jaren Jackson
right.
team. We're going forward. And that just didn't happen. The other thing is, like, and I don't know whether they'll pull it off. I think it's another coin flip at best, but I think they still want to give the pick to Boston. And so the idea of having Mike Conley be competitive the rest of this season, let him play with the young guys and help the development of Jaren Jackson, see what happens the rest of this season, and then you have your options open this summer. You still have Conley under contract for 2 more years, or you can explore trades and decide which is the better path going into the summer.
It doesn't help that Anthony Davis is going to be playing, apparently.
Right. Yeah. I still haven't had time to fully figure out what happened around the league. I've just been so busy with the Grizzlies.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so then the last thing on this, and I do think, I don't know if it's come out yet, but I think Chris Wallace is talking today. And I put
a little notebook up, and I mentioned that he's supposed to be speaking at noon.
He's speaking at noon. So, the worst Chris Wallace.
Shane Battier, he's not going to come out from behind the curtain at noon today.
The worst Chris Wallace one was the Fizdale one, where his hand-picked coach,
right,
he was now saying, I have to get rid of him, and it's because we think this team is really a lot of untapped potential.
Right.
And that was just tap dancing. But Chris Wallace has to come out and defend this. But, like, it's really, at this point, there's nothing he can say that's going to make people happy.
Yeah, I'm going to be there because I have to be there. I just don't care. And to bring up something, you know, you were talking about defending and explaining, whatever. This is something I run into sometimes. There's a difference between an explanation and a defense, right? So people just want to be mad immediately, right? For me, I want to understand what happened and why it happened and then explain it to people. I think that's sort of part of my job.
Right.
And then from there, like, I'll have my own opinions about it. I don't need an explanation from Chris Wallace. I mean, I'll go because he's doing it.
You know the explanation.
I've already written it. Like, he's not going to say anything substantively I don't believe that I don't already know what I haven't already written.
Right.
And so there's no mystery to this to me. It's a theatrical performance.
It's a theatrical performance destined to bomb, and they've got season ticket renewals coming up, and that's a problem for them.
Yes.
They have to know this. Don't you think they have to know this?
I think they 100% know this, and the question is,
does Robert Pera know this?
Oh, I'm sure he does. To what degree? That's the question. Like, you know, I suspect there are multiple people in the small world of people who can actually communicate with Robert Pera who have, like, probably let him know, like, you know, whether the basketball operation is a basketball problem or not, we can debate that, but it is a business problem. I think that is known. I think that is understood. There's no history here of basketball decisions being made for business reasons that directly. And I sort of wrote this a few weeks ago, do I think some kind of signal being sent between now and when season ticket renewals go out that, hey, there will be changes to the front office? We may not know what they are, but, like, they're coming. Do I think that would be helpful for them business-wise? I do. There's no history of doing that kind of thing, right? And so my assumption is, well, the season will end and
Do you believe there will be changes in the front office?
Haven't we already done this on the radio? I think we both believe there will be changes in the front office.
We both believe they should be, but you've also said it's reading the mind of Robert Pera.
I don't expect there will be the kind of dramatic change that you wrote about today that we talked about yesterday. Right. Whether it's Battier or somebody else.
Right.
I don't think it will be like, dun-da-dun-da-da, here's the guy.
Here's the keys to the kingdom.
Go roll.
Right.
I don't expect that to happen. But I do expect there to be some level of change, yes.
Right. Okay. Read Chris's stuff at the Daily Memphian, where he will break it all down for you, and has. Okay, we're going to take a break, come back. Steve Simmons, Toronto Sun, is going to join us next. I do want to tell you, it was cold today, but the sun was pouring down. The sun, beautiful sunny day. You could have woken up and said, Alexa, open my blinds, and your blinds would have gone up, and the sun would have come pouring in. And Chip Wiggins can make that happen for you from Affordable Blinds of Memphis. Blinds, shades, and shutters can transform your house. New plantation shutters all over the house is absolutely fantastic, and they can get them to you in 2 weeks. They get you the highest quality at the best price and the quickest service to transform your home. All you got to do is give them a call at 753-5822, 753-5822, and they'll stop by. They got a beautiful mobile showroom. They'll show you all their options. You're not going to have to wrestle with this big box store, measuring it all yourself, putting it up yourself, et cetera. They will do that for you. They'll give you an estimate. And if you want to go ahead, they will have it done within 1 to 3 weeks. So call Chip Wiggins, 753-5822, or you can see what they're all about. Go to their website. Easy to do that at affordableblindsofmemphis.com. Steve Simmons, Toronto Sun, coming up next. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jeff's guests appear on the Memphis Express phone line. Get on board the Express at AAF.com or call 901-881-3344 for tickets. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
C-Spire Tech Movement is taking over the region. As the Southeast and Mid-South cannot compete for the technology jobs of the future without the proper resources or training, C-Spire is investing in the education infrastructure people to make the Southeast and the Mid-South a leader in technology. 10% of our high schools teach AP computer science. That's disgraceful. So C-Spire is teaming up with schools and public partners to give teachers the training and resources they need to teach it in their classrooms. Also setting up coding programs, competitions to give students the opportunity to pursue careers they never dreamed possible. And because high-speed internet and technology is the foundation for economic development, C-Spire is on a mission to deliver managed information technology services to more businesses across the region. The future out there is out there, and C-Spire Tech Movement is leading the way. Join the movement at cspire.com/techmvmt. All right, I'm joined now by Steve Simmons. Steve Simmons is the wonderful columnist from the Toronto Sun. Follow him on Twitter, at particularly now that we are all Raptors fans here in the city. Follow him on Twitter, at Simmons Steve. You may get a little talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs, but that's fine too. Steve joins me now. Steve, how are you?
I am well. Nice to be here.
It's good to have you. I think the last time you were in the Mid-South was, at least as I recall, was for the Tyson Lewis fight. I rode a bus with you.
Yeah,
I rode a. Was it? Were you in a bus? I don't remember this exact. But you were here for the Tyson Lewis fight, weren't you?
I was, and you were my chauffeur.
Is that what happened?
If you recall.
I remember traveling together. We did travel together down to the Tunica casinos.
In a rather old, beaten-up car, I recall.
That's me. Yeah, you recall correctly. That's me, exactly. I'm a print journalist, Steve. So how is the Gasol deal being received up there in Toronto?
Excited with a sense of sadness, I think, would be the way most people would look at it. You know, people are excited because we know who Gasol is. We know what he is. We know what he can bring. This is a very exciting time for Toronto basketball. And they went all out and brought Kawhi Leonard in this year and to really take a shot at the East with LeBron James gone. And now this is another sort of move that gets them closer to where they want to go. And at the same time, the longest-serving Raptor, a very popular player in Jonas Valanciunas, is heading to Memphis. And so there's a little bit of your heart getting tugged at, as I'm sure even more, way more so in Memphis. But the people, Valanciunas was a very popular figure, albeit not necessarily a great player.
That's nice to hear. And that he is, and you and I talked on the phone a little bit about it yesterday. He's a good dude, is he, Valanciunas?
Everybody likes him. He's sort of the antithesis of today's pro athlete. He has no, sort of pretense about him. He has no "I'm better than you" that you find so often with today's athletes and dealing with media. He's just a guy who happens to be 7 feet tall and blessed with some skills and works his backside off to get better all the time. The Raptors really worked hard with him. They hired Jack Sikma, the old Seattle center, and to just work with Jonas primarily in sort of a part-time role. At the same time, Nick Nurse, who was, before being the head coach of the Raptors, was the offensive coach, and his pet project was Jonas, and he used to go to Lithuania every summer and spend time with him. And as Valanciunas departed the Raptors yesterday, you know, he shook hands with Nick Nurse and said, like, "You're still coming, aren't you?" You know, you're not my coach anymore, but you're so welcome.
That's fantastic. What do you think his attitude of this? Obviously, he was heading for a playoffs, perhaps a deep playoff run. He's in a world-class international city there in Toronto, and yet his role had been somewhat diminished, and he's been out with an injury, honestly, just poised to come back. What do you think his view of this is?
Probably hasn't hit him yet completely. He was so in on the Raptor world. He was so in Toronto. He bought a house in the middle of the city, and he just bought it, I think, last summer, and was just settling in, so to speak. He's got a couple of young kids, and so this is going to be a big adjustment that way. He loved the way the basketball team was going, and while not a lot of players would take going from being a starter to sharing time at center with someone else, he seemed to accept it pretty well because it seemed to bring out the best in him. And Nurse made a determination this year. He wasn't going to have a set starting lineup. He was going to change it depending on who the Raptors were playing. And so sometimes Serge Ibaka started. Most of the time Serge Ibaka started at center. Occasionally Jonas would start at center. But they pretty much split time. And if you added their numbers together, what a powerful position the five had become for the Raptors. They were scoring, you know, in the 30-point range per game. And Jonas, a very good rebounder, which is, I guess, one of the things that will distinguish him from Gasol. You know, he's a physical, strong rebounder. He'll get 10, 11 rebounds a night playing, you know, getting, you know, what kind of minutes I think he'll get. And probably score in the 16 to 18-point range. He has some offensive game, and he can rebound. He's a bit awkward, like a lot of seven-footers are, and not necessarily the greatest defender in the world.
So, and he's not the gifted passer and shooter that Mark is, but he's more of your classical old school center. Is that your sense of it?
You pass it into him in the low post, you're not getting the ball back. You know, he's trying to get to the basket. He's right. Trying to somehow put it up off the bank it off the boards or one of that kind of thing. No, that's not part of his arsenal. He is pretty tough to, you know, I remember a playoff series with Miami a few years ago. The Raptors were having real problems scoring. And they have that's why the DeMar DeRozan trade was eventually made. But the one guy that they got the ball into Valanciunas, Miami had no answer for him. And a lot of teams in the NBA do not have that big physical guy anymore playing that position. And so he can give teams a real difficulty depending on how you use him. At times, he was frustrated by how Dwayne Casey chose to use him, you know, when Dwayne Casey was coaching the Raptors, because Casey didn't like having him on the floor late in games, partly because of his defensive play. And so that bothered him that he didn't get to do that. But I think Nick Nurse had far more faith in him, even though he was splitting the five. And I think Jonas has played. This is the best I've ever seen him play, I think. And I think he has more to give in a 38-minute kind of role if he gets that.
Okay. And then so there's teariness or misty or at least some bittersweet quality to Valanciunas had in this way. How about DeLon Wright?
DeLon Wright was the box you open on Christmas that looks like it's something special. But when you start putting all the parts together, you know, it's kind of like IKEA. You know, you can't quite figure out what fits into what. And he looked to me like I talked to Dwayne Casey a lot when he was coaching the Raptors. And I kept saying, this guy's got something. And he says, he does, but where do I get it from? And we used to have this conversation regularly. What do you do with DeLon? And maybe a switch, you know, he's a free agent coming up. So maybe a switch in environment and a different coach and a different place and maybe a different opportunity might bring out. He has skill. He has a game. He's got there's a lot of things to like about him. He's a good long guard. He's a defender. He's athletic. He just doesn't put it all together for some reason. And it's never quite come out. Every kind of time you thought it would come out, the next game it wouldn't. And so right now, I don't know what DeLon Wright is. I'm sure hoping he becomes something because he has
You know, he has everything there. It's just a question of, you know, sometimes it takes guys longer or a second team or a third team to find the way.
Talking to Steve Simmons from the Toronto Sun. Lastly, because we now are, it's really sort of interesting because you watch Oklahoma City, Kevin Durant goes to Golden State, and they wish nothing but for Golden State to fail miserably. This is a very different circumstance. Mark is beloved and was traded away, and Memphis is not going to the playoffs, and Toronto is now our playoff team since we're just jumping on board. What is the feeling up there? Obviously, the big gamble with Kawhi. I don't know whether he's going to stay at the end of this year or not. What's the sense of possibilities? Milwaukee's gotten better, it appears. Philadelphia's gotten better, it appears. Now that this is our team, what should we expect?
Well, this whole city's kind of holding its breath because Kawhi Leonard is the best basketball player who's ever played here. And the most mysterious. We don't know a lot about him. He doesn't speak a lot. We don't get to understand what he's doing, what he's thinking. He's playing some games. He's not playing other games. You know, they're managing his time for the one season, if it's only one season here. And most people are assuming it's just one season. So this is the weirdest thing, because you have this one shot. You don't know where it's going. You don't know whether Leonard's staying or not. You don't know whether Gasol's going to, you know, opt in or not, or how all the stuff is going to work after this year. This is, we're going to the tables with all our money. That's what this is. And we're spending all of it on this year. We don't know what next year is. I don't think, in Masai Ujiri's case, I'm not sure he cares what next year is, because LeBron James absolutely stole the hearts and souls from the Raptors and Toronto and Canada basketball for the last several years. Every time they thought they had a team that was decent, you know, he crushed them like a bug. And so now it's different. But now also Milwaukee's really good.
Yes.
And Philly starting lineup is like maybe the best in the league other than Golden State. And Boston's really good. And it's like, there's no assurance that you're going anywhere, but there's also the possibility that that they could get to the finals. And maybe if they get to the finals, who knows, you know, if Golden State is still in good shape or if Curry's hurt or who the heck knows what can happen that way. But that's what's going on here right now. It's a hold your breath. This is really exciting kind of season, and to hell with the future.
Well, Steve, you're gracious to join us. Thank you very much. Please give our best to Mark. He's wonderful character, and I think you'll enjoy him. And we'll be rooting for the Raptors. Thank you for joining us.
And enjoyed it. Thanks for having
me. Thanks, Steve. That is Steve Simmons from the Toronto Sun. Sleep is Easy mattress furnished by Michael Zellner, where you can save 58% off retail sources. Retail store prices every single day of the week. You hear those numbers? I say them, but I don't know if you really hear them. 50 to 80% off. And if you say my name, it's another 10% off. Jeff Calkins. And this is at the best mattress store in Memphis. Voted so 15, 16, 17, and 18. It's for the best mattresses available in the world. Certified Comfort, Simmons Beauty Rest. They got a complete line of adjustable bases. They got a whole showroom full of furniture from Signature Design by Ashley and Benchcraft. People love them. 500 positive reviews on the Better Business Bureau. That's more than any other Mid-South mattress store or furniture company. Sleep Is Easy Mattress, located 2790 Kirby Whitten Road, the corner of Summer Avenue. It's right next to the Hollywood Feed. Give them a call, 692-6200. Sleep Is Easy by Michael Zellner. Where you never wake up on the wrong side of the bed. It's Jeff Calkins Show. We will be back in a moment. 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jeff's guests appear on the Memphis Express phone line. Get on board the Express at AAF.com or call 901-881-3344 for tickets. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
My son Andrew smashed his computer in 1,000 pieces. What did I do? I did what I tell you all to do. I sent him to Cooper Systems, where I knew he could get a computer for vastly more than a big box store. I need to get the kind of personal service you don't get at a big box store. So Andrew goes over there, sees Lee and Lauren Cooper in the Mount Moriah office park. They show him the options. He decided to get a MacBook Pro. MacBook Pro. He loves it. I love it because I paid less than I would have otherwise. He's going to be heading off to college with a beautiful computer. Everybody's happy. Honestly, if I wanted to try to reassemble the computer that he broke into 1,000 pieces, they would have done that too. They can handle repairs as well. But the point is, it's a place where you get the kind of service that you never get anymore, but the same cutting-edge technology. And it's why I go. It's why I sent Andrew. You pay a lot less than you would anywhere else. Give him a call, 360-9679. Stop and visit him in the Mount Moriah office park. Let's wrap this baby up.
Now, it's the closing argument.
You know, Jeffrey, I haven't really gotten your full take.
Okay.
Fire away.
On the trade deadline moves.
Yes, on what happened yesterday.
To me, I think they got a fair market value for Mark Gasol. I think they essentially made a move because they felt as
they boxed themselves in, man.
Exactly. They backed themselves
totally
into a corner.
Boxed themselves in.
I think they made move. I do not believe that this team is any better today than it was two days ago. So
it's mildly worse.
Yeah, if the whole goal was to try and
convey the pick,
I think you were better off just standing pat.
I think that if you hadn't created this ruckus
Correct.
To begin with.
Exactly.
If you never said, we are trading Mark Gasol, like whatever.
And correct.
You can do that. Like they did it with Mike Conley. Right?
Correct. And I'm not someone that's like, these trades are like symbolic of incompetence. I think these trades were relatively fair considering the corner that they had backed themselves into. I just think the larger overarching point is, why did this have to be done?
Here's the problem. It's just time, man. Like, it's just time. It's time. There is no way they can sell this to the fan base, right?
I completely agree.
They just can't. It is time. I in my column today, you can read it at the Daily Memphis. I suggested they go out, and Shane Battier now works as an executive with the Miami Heat, right?
Yes, he is their director of analytics.
Right. So if you brought him in and you announced he's the GM, president of basketball operations, he's in charge. You can keep whoever's over. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't need Chris Wallace to be
right,
whatever.
But he is the
decision
maker.
He can keep whoever he wants, but he's the decision maker. He can interview everybody, decide who he wants to keep, whatever. He's the decision maker. What would happen? How would people feel about that?
I think it would be wild. I think it would be wildly overwhelmingly received.
But then there'd be something. There'd be a new vision. There'd be a new direction. We'd have and there would be someone to speak for the franchise, right? Someone who could stand up there and explain the vision, lay out the vision, and then when every deal is made, they'll either succeed or they'll fail, and they could be judged on that, right?
Yes, I completely agree.
It doesn't have to be Shane Battier. It could be someone else. But they need someone who can explain and it is at some point it is a business problem.
Completely agree.
It is a basketball problem. I don't think you can argue. I'm not just saying it's a business problem and not a basketball problem. I don't think you can look at the last two years of literally the worst trade in Grizzlies history, Jeff Green, and the worst signing in Grizzlies history, Chandler Parsons, and not say that there's a basketball problem.
Well, I completely agree.
There's
and then on top
problem.
Of that, you're probably going to make another coaching change.
But it's – yeah, and a disaster. As coaching, the David Fizdale thing just didn't work out. You could say didn't work out because they shouldn't have fired him, or didn't work out because they shouldn't have hired him. But very clearly, when he fired him a year and a half later, that didn't work out, right?
Believe.
So you've had a coaching debacle, trade debacle, signing debacle. Like, there's a basketball problem, but there's also this enormous business PR problem, which there is no leadership. There's a vacuum. And maybe there is leadership behind this, but there's no public leadership. There's no one to outline the vision. And so they can't sell it. It's just impossible. People have already bailed, and now they're bailing left and right. And James Wiseman's coming in for the Memphis Tigers. They can't proceed. It is time.
It's also one of the common refrains that you hear from other NBA people that are involved in front offices. One of the first questions they always ask whenever I talk to anyone is, so who is in charge?
Right. The answer to that is kind of Robert Pera. But here's the other thing about Robert Pera. He's got a business to run.
Yes.
Like, I mean, he's not a guy who's
This isn't his job.
No, and I've said I don't want it to be his job because it's a good thing he makes a lot of money elsewhere because he's not making money on this team, right?
Yes.
So it's not like I want him to, but he's got ubiquity to run. So he needs someone who he anoints. Doesn't have to be Shane Battier. I would prefer it be someone from outside the organization, but whatever, even if it's someone inside, anoint them, put them up front. This is that person who's going to sketch out the vision, speak for the franchise. If they don't do that, it is going to be complete. I mean, it's going to be a, it is going to be, they're going to have struggle with season ticket renewals anyway.
I think from a business perspective,
they're BOA.
I think from a business perspective, it has to be someone from outside the organization. It can be someone you're familiar with. It could be Shane Battier, if you will, but it has to be someone.
I don't think it will be.
To me, it has to be someone that does not have part of this regime attached to them. You know what I mean?
I don't think it will be.
I'm not convinced they're making a move.
I think they're going to do. They'll reshuffle.
Okay.
I'm convinced they will reshuffle. And that may or may not qualify as making a move. Jason and John coming up next. Oh, you
with
can
Ron
tell
Olson.
Here's what's coming up next.
Ron Olson's going to join the first hour of the Jason and John show. He'll sit in with John Martin. Gary Parrish is going to join them at 12:25. Matt Moore will join at 1:25. Eric is back in studio today. Joe Mullinax will join him at 3:25 to discuss the trade deadline and more. Matt Stark is hosting the Gary Parrish show. Dan Wolkin, 4:25. Jeff at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Work here is done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.